SBS Radio.
I'm Bertrand Tungandami on NITV Radio, and I'm in conversation with Dr. Catherine Grushka and Emeritus Professor John Lester of the University of Newcastle. We caught up in the context of World Water Day. We discussed World Water Day and Indigenous knowledge. Dr. Catherine Grushka and Emeritus Professor John Lester led a project about water sustainability. It is a unique collaboration between Hunter Water, the University of Newcastle, Newcastle High School, and the Awabakal and Waramai communities. In this project, 10 Aboriginal students from Newcastle High School worked with Aboriginal educators and artists to create a storybook for primary school children about valuing water. Where is our water? Is the name of the book. It has to be said that Where's Our Water embeds local language and traditional concepts in a contemporary story of water conservation.
Well, it was a project with Newcastle University, and originally it was negotiated with a colleague of mine who was an Aboriginal principal of that school. So it's a big school in Newcastle. And the project, obviously, the primary lead has been Catherine. Importantly, the project has highlighted the significance of Aboriginal people and their relationship to water, and in particular conservation, and from the viewpoint of young Indigenous youth from the school. And I think quite pleasingly, and as you'd be well aware, we existed in this environment for well over 65,000 years. So we were around when the last major climatic change took place in this country. So it's very fitting that an Aboriginal youth revitalised the need to conserve and look after water.
And how did this project come about? Because if we look at what we're going through today, ironically, we are talking at a time when Australia is going through, especially the mid-north coast of New South Wales, going all the way down south. Now it's reached parts of Victoria, even heavy rainfalls and flooding. One wouldn't say that there's a water shortage today on the 22nd of March 2021.
It appears a little ironic. However, this is a symptom of severe climate change, where we are going to be moving between long periods of drought and these extreme weather events. And we're actually having an extreme weather event. Our premier is calling it one in 100 years at the moment. But we were asked to do this project along with Hunter Water. Hunter Water is a state governance company who looks after and has responsibility for the conservation of water. They have been working with school children with the understanding that they're the future conservationists, and they have been trying very hard through quizzes and a STEM focus, STEM being science, technology, engineering and math, focus to teach students awareness of how we conserve water, how water is used, particularly in urban areas, and the consequences of water shortage, both in urban and rural areas. The project had some success, but I think they felt they needed a different approach. And the different approach was to take an arts-based approach, and to take an approach which was grounded in a focus on reconciliation by the Hunter Water Management and their staff. It was perfect that you ask children to write a contemporary story that tells a narrative about conservation based in Aboriginal traditions. So that's really how it started.
Last year when we had major events, it's the other way around, we had major fires. And one thing that came to the forefront, that discussion that was had everywhere, is why aren't we listening to traditional owners, Indigenous people, when it comes to water management, land management? This time it's water. It's just like it's a relay of one issue now to the other issue that comes up now. John, can you tell us about this, just enlighten us also as well on traditional Indigenous knowledge in how to manage the water and look after land?
we've coexisted in this environment, and we have a philosophy of Mother Earth, and we don't own land and we don't have that possession. We live and care for Mother Earth. So it's not about ownership, and therefore it's not about abuse of resources. So we had, for over 65,000 years, nurtured and learned to live with the environment. That changed over that 65,000 years. So we moved and changed with it. Water to us in certain parts of Australia was always extremely precious. And in terms of coastal locations that got perhaps a little more rainfall than the desert groups of people, it was more about looking after water and waterways so that they were clean and there remained an abundance of seafood and food available to Indigenous peoples. It was imperative to us to look after Mother Earth and both land, sky and water.
You worked with children. How aware are they? How engaged are they with this issue of water shortage?
I think all of them had conceptual frameworks around that principle about water care and water being looked after. And they had some knowledge of, we have a traditional story of Tiddalik, the frog, and they were all very familiar with that traditional story. And that assisted them greatly in terms of understanding and conceptualizing the fact that Indigenous people in the past and their contemporary people living in a very contemporary urban environment had to transfer those learnings and knowledge into a contemporary sense, and in particular at a time when drought was ravaging the country.
Tiddalik is a Wanneroo story from the Upper Hunter Valley, and it's about a very greedy frog who drinks all the water and leaves no water for any other animals or birds. And the story is about how to make him laugh so that he would give the water back to the land. It's a children's story, and but the narrative is about water greed, ownership, and believing that you can possess something which really isn't yours to possess, as John has explained in Aboriginal tradition. The story is really an urban conservation story. The book is for the children in primary schools that really are generally urbanised in the Lower Hunter. At the time, there's a very strong campaign, and we still have the campaigns called Love Water, which is by another name, you could call it Care for Water. But it was very much about making the population understand their wastage of water. And the story is about the children. It begins with the animals who observe the children wasting water. And this is the story. It's a children's story for children, grounded in the traditions of storytelling. The animals, which are all Indigenous animals from the area, and I might tell you they have what we call learning attributes, and I'll come back to that in a minute. But the animals and Biriban, who is the sea eagle, who is one of the major totems of the area, was watching from above and watching the children waste water. And he said, how can we help these children learn not to waste water? So the story then is a journey of the animals teaching the children about how they can conserve water, and we take on board all of these animal characteristics. So there's the kookaburra, who's curious. There's the frog, who's there about belonging. There's the crabs, who help us collaborate to solve the problem. There's the goanna, who is a very creative person who comes on board. They all learn. The children are the learners. And we have the snake, who brings on hope because he changes all the time and works forward, and we have the mindful sea eagle, and we also have the turtle, who is wise. So all these animals with all of these learning attributes share their learning attributes and give them to the children. And then the children learn, take on those attributes of wisdom, curiosity, how to collaborate, and they bring all those together to help solve the problem of water wastage.
These stories are for Waramai and Awabakal. Is there any prospect to extend it to other peoples?
The project is quite defined. And when we negotiated with the Aboriginal community about that and the languages involved and the area that to be covered was with the New South Wales Aboriginal Education Consultative Group at a local level, and they're experts in the field of education. We negotiated with them for obviously those two languages to be introduced into the storyline, and that was important because they covered a significant component, obviously, of the Hunter River and water generally. If we are to expand it, there's an agreement with the community that can only be done through negotiation back with the community about exploring that. And it would involve negotiation at other local levels with other local groups, particularly about the use of their languages.
It's illustrated, and I can see it doing very, very well in other settings as well.
It's a story, and the story is a contemporary story, but each community would have different animals that they would wish to tell the story and the learning attributes through. While the story itself is a fairly traditional story in the sense that you learn about something and you become wise about something and then you change your behaviours, that story is traditional, but each community would need to shape that general narrative into a traditional narrative that would be for their communities. I think that's the significant point. One of the other reasons I was terribly attracted to the project was the loss of language, and to bring some Aboriginal language, Awabakal and Waramai, back into the classroom. And that's not just for the Aboriginal children, but it's for all children to learn and understand other languages. As we were talking before about French English, it would be lovely to see Australian children begin to take on some of the language of where they themselves live and understand Aboriginal language much better than they do.
And that's happening. There's a major movement primarily driven by the New South Wales ACG to get to Aboriginal languages taught in schools. And I last Saturday I attended, I'm learning my language. And it's not just learning the languages, it's resurrecting the language and retrieving the language. As you'd be well aware, Aboriginal people were discouraged from using language when they were forcibly removed onto reserves and missions. And it's only now that Aboriginal people are beginning to retrieve language. And that's a process that, we're undertaking, and many, many other communities are.
Before I let you go, maybe a conclusion from the two of you, a lesson to take from this book, and where to from here?
Basically, I saw this as a great interaction between schools, the university, and obviously people in the community such as myself and children, and as well as another government department, Hunter Water. That level of collaboration took its time, and it was done very thoughtfully and very respectfully. And I know the AECG were particularly pleased with the way we went about that. And it's really important that if you're doing business like this and want to work with Aboriginal community, that the partnership begin from as early as possible as this one did, and you guarantee the results that it's got, which are just outstanding.
The outstanding part is that there is a learning site on the Hunter Water, which I've given you access to, where the books are available free. Anybody can download that book in an electronic version and read it to their children. While it's specifically for Awabakal and Waramai language, the story, I read Tidlick the Frog to my children when they were growing up, and they're quite old now, and I'm hoping that my grandchildren will read Tidlick the Frog and this more contemporary story. It is through stories and storytelling that we pass on our traditions. The stories of conservation are very, very important. And one thing that Hunter Water has been able to do, and they have a very strong reconciliation policy, is to make this, all of this learning, the video of the children learning, listening to them talking, how they produce the story, it's all free. You just have to go to the website, where's our water, Hunter Water, and you will find and you can have access to any of that for free.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.